Okay, so the reading is Mark 1, verses 29 to 34. In the Orange Church Bibles, it's page 1003. And for the Youth Journaling Bibles, it's page 754. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they immediately told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all who were ill and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was.
Imagine we're in Capernaum, we're at Simon and Andrew's house early the next morning. So Jesus has been healing people for ages the previous day, but it got to the middle of the night and they got sent home and got told to come back the next day. James and John have slept the night on the living room floor. And James and John, where are you? They've finally woken up.
Well, that was quite a day yesterday, wasn't it, John? I mean, it was incredible enough when Jesus started teaching in the synagogue. Everyone was just amazed. He had so much authority.
And then he cast out the demon. Just like that. None of the rituals, incantations. He just spoke to it and told it to come out of the man, and it did.
Just like the way he healed Simon's mother-in-law of that fever. As soon as we arrived here for lunch, gone in a flash. I suppose it's not surprising that word got around pretty quickly.
Yeah. But the crowds, in the evening, I've never seen anything like it. I mean, the whole town must have been gathered outside. And Jesus just kept on healing people. It didn't matter what was wrong with them. There was dropsy, there was yellow fever.
Guy that was blind in one eye.
Yeah, and the lame girl, who was always hobbling around. She was running and leaping.
Yeah, and the guy with the disgusting sores on him, gone in an instant.
And there were the demons, loads of them, cast out too. Just like the first one.
Yeah. You know, Simon just had to tell them all to go home in the end. Told them the poor guy needed to sleep. Jesus is amazing. Yeah. We're so privileged that he called us to follow him. Yeah. He's going to be famous.
Oh, yeah, and we're going to be famous too.
Yeah. And he's going to get rid of all sickness and demon possession. I bet he can do the whole of Israel. Oh, take a while though, won't it? I reckon he'll need probably a week here in Capernaum to get through all the sick and demon possessed. Then he might start on, the villages just south of the lake. You do those next. Yep.
Ooh, speaking of which, I can hear people gathering outside. Oh, we'd better wake him up and get things started.
Guys, he's gone.
What? Whoa. Slow down. What do you mean he's gone? Jesus can't have gone.
He has. He's not in his bed. Rebecca says she thought she heard someone leave quietly this morning before dawn. Look, there's already crowds outside calling for him. We've got to go and find him and tell him everyone's looking for him. Now you two, scout through the town. Andrew and I will head to the lake and see if we can find him there.
Okay. Right, see you back here soon.
A little while later...
Oh, John, I hope Simon had more luck than us. Jesus can't be anywhere in the town. We looked everywhere.
And the crowds, they're getting bigger and bigger. Simon, did you find him?
Yes.
Oh, great. Where is he? Come on, he needs to get on with the healings. The crowd outside's massive.
He's not coming.
What? What do you mean? What do you mean he's not coming?
Well, he's not coming to heal people anymore here. He went out early this morning to find a quiet place to pray, and now he's set on the road to Gennesaret. He wants us to follow and catch him up.
Well, but, But what about all the people who want to be healed? Is he just leaving them?
This is what he said. Let us go somewhere else, to nearby villages, so that I can preach there also. That is why I have come.
Thank you very much for our actors playing the part. Please keep Mark chapter 1 open. You're going to need to read not just that bit we've heard read and talked about, but another bit that comes just after it. Let me pray as we listen to God's word. Heavenly Father, thank you for speaking and giving Jesus to us that we might understand you. Thank you for recording his life in the Gospels and Mark's account that we're looking at now. Please may it have the effect on us you want it to have. Amen. When you're good at lots of things, but you've only got a bit of time and an opportunity to do one thing, what do you choose? There are some amazing sportsmen who are good all-round sportsmen, but they had to choose. Did you know Ian Botham played for Scunthorpe United? There he is. But actually ended up being a brilliant cricketer. He had to give up football to play cricket. Kate Romero. Now, that's a name not many of you might know. Anyone know Kate? She rowed for Britain in one Olympics, but she decided she wanted to try something else and ended up being so good at cycling, she did cycling the next time and got a gold in cycling. So she was amazing. But she couldn't do both at once. And you'll all recognise this chap. Did you know Usain Bolt has had a football career? It didn't go very well. He only played 3 games, but he couldn't do both at once. Some young boys and girls are very good at football and rugby, but you can't play both sports at the same time. You have to choose. And right at this point in the story, Jesus makes clear what he's choosing. He is good at healing. Hundreds are coming to him for that. But he chooses preaching. Verse 38, look down. Let us go somewhere else to the nearby villages so I can preach there also. That is why I have come. And if Jesus is prepared to leave behind hundreds of people in this village, very sick people, in order that he can preach in other villages, we've got to conclude that hearing the message he came to preach was more important than being healed. And we know what his message was. Chapter 1, verse 15. Look back so you can see it in the passage. What was his message? Mums and dads, point your children to it. What was his message? The time has come. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. The good news is the message of how a person can change and enter God's kingdom. How can they can turn from being rebels against God and start going God's way. Be accepted as a family member under his blessed rule. So it's to turn from being a rebel into a subject. That's the key issue in our lives. And it's the realization that if our relationship with God is put right, then eventually everything else will come right too. So if Jesus has made his priority healing, well, if he'd done that, that would have been worse than a doctor trying to treat a severed artery with a plaster. Or measles with a little bit of Savlon. That's just rubbing something on the outside. It's not dealing with the problem. But it's worse than that. Imagine if a doctor met an alcoholic and decided the best thing to give him was what he wanted, whiskey. That would not be the right thing to do. Giving the sick person what they wanted, but not the help that they needed. It's true, isn't it, that most of us would like to walk through life healthy, wealthy, or a little bit more than we have now, and happy. And so we're looking for whatever will give us those things in this life. Jesus is wiser than we are, and he sets out to give us what we most need. A restored relationship with God right now, so that when we come crashing up against God on Judgment Day, we will have the relationship with him that'll mean the warmest of welcomes and the very healing in every way possible that we've been hoping for. Jesus wants for people to listen to him, to hear his offer of forgiveness, to repent and believe in him. His priority is preaching, because that is what we most need. And he's wiser than we are. Do you see verse 34 and verse 39? Have a look down. Jesus couldn't do both. Healing many who had various diseases, that's verse 34, or verse 39, traveling throughout Galilee preaching. If he stayed to heal, he couldn't travel and preach. If he set off to preach, he couldn't stay and heal. Do you see? He was making a very clear choice. And we have a choice to make too. Either I can come to Jesus to get what I think I need, functional reasons. I want to find happiness. I want to cure a disease. I want to make friends, get married, have children. I want to be happy, so I'll come to him to find something that he can give me. That's coming to him for healing. Or I can come to him for relational reasons. I can come to know him, to listen to him, to grow in relationship with him, to repent and believe in him. That is to come to him for preaching, for the message. It's impossible to come to him for both things equally. If you come to him for the first, you'll end up not being very good at the second. So you might be thinking, what? Jesus has no compassion, no heart. Can't he help the sick person and tell them the good news? What it means to repent and believe. Well, immediately after Jesus makes clear what he came to do, to preach this message of good news, he encounters the sickest of sick people. Has anybody heard of leprosy? Hands up if you heard of leprosy. It's a very nasty skin condition that in Jesus' day couldn't be treated. People's skin ruptured. They lost all feeling. They ended up losing digits. And it was incredibly ugly and very painful. People who had leprosy were shut off from society, kept away from people. They lived on their own. No hugs, no handshakes, no ordinary chatting, nothing like this. It was incredibly rare, but what they wanted was healing and the chance to be welcomed back into society again. Well, in verse 40, a man comes to Jesus with leprosy. And Jesus shows compassion. He is willing and he does the unthinkable. Let me read it to you. A man with leprosy came to Jesus and begged him on his knees, "If you're willing, you can make me clean." Jesus was indignant. "I am willing," he said, as he reached out his hand and touched the man. "Be clean." Immediately, the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Let me just go back to my place. The man is cleansed immediately. Jesus touches the unclean man and thereby makes himself unclean. But what was happening there is a picture of what Jesus came to do with our sin. You see, Jesus would come to us and offer to take from us all our uncleanness, our sin, our guilt, and the punishment we deserve. He'd take it all onto himself so that we could be cleaned, given a completely fresh start and equipped to live new lives for him. But at that point, set free from his leprosy, the man demonstrates that his healing is only skin deep. His heart has not been touched. The healing has not dealt with his biggest problem. Let's read on. Jesus sent the man away with a strong warning. "See that you don't tell this to anyone. But go, show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly. He had to stay outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. Jesus, this man's Lord and King, with power to cleanse and heal, gives him one command. See that you don't tell this to anyone. Just the priests, so that you can be certified clean and welcomed back into society. You can tell the priests. Instead, the man went out directly and disobeyed Jesus. He's been happy taking the healing Jesus has offered him, but the words Jesus has spoken to him, he ignores. He's chosen not to hear and not to listen. He remains so caught up in his felt experience. One moment he was a suffering leper, the next he's miraculously cleansed. He is blind to the fact that his God is standing in front of him, offering him relationship. His soul is untouched. His body may be fixed, but his soul is untouched. His heart remains hard. And the effect is that others now don't get to hear about Jesus. Jesus' intention was to preach in the towns so that they could hear and respond and believe. Now he can't go into the towns because the man has directly disobeyed him. His disobedience has been damaging to other people. Do you see? Jesus' priority isn't healing, though he can, and he does. His compassion is clear. His priority is preaching. It's by hearing his message that lives are completely turned round, not just bodies, but hearts. Not just a few years without leprosy, but an eternity with God. That's what he came to offer. So what should we do? What should we do now we've read this story? We are to listen to Jesus. If his priority was preaching, then ours must be listening and responding. We're not to listen just so that we can fill our brains with more information. Oh, I know Jesus. He healed lepers and blind people, and I know lots about him. Not that kind of listening. Listening to respond. Listening so that we can have our suppositions about the world turned upside down, so that we can know God and trust in him, to receive his forgiveness now and have lives, whatever we face, filled with meaning. And then to fill our horizon with hope in him, that in him and through him one day he'll return and everything we face that is hard will be put right. That is coming. It may not be right now when you want it, but Jesus is promising to bring that. So what will you choose? Jesus the healer? Or Jesus the preacher? Will you spend your life chasing after small gains in health or wealth or happiness now? Or will you determine to listen to Jesus, the one who came to bring real rest and gather a vast crowd of people around the message of good news for sinful, unclean people like me and you? No matter what hardship or suffering you are facing, Jesus came that we might hear him and turn to him and find real rest. What we most need. Relationship with him. Forgiveness from sin. And one day when he comes again, absolutely everything that is wrong put right. So let's get things in the right order. Listen to Jesus now. While you can, go to him in repentance and faith, and line yourselves up with Jesus's priority. In a moment, I'm going to pray a prayer. If you'd like to do that, and you feel that today is the moment you'd like to put your trust in Jesus, receive him as your king, please in your hearts and in your minds, say these words to your Father in heaven. Jesus said, "Let us go so that I can preach. That is why I have come." Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus into this world. Thank you that he came to deal with my sinful heart. Thank you because of what Jesus did. He took my sin on himself that I might be set free. Help me to receive Jesus as my Lord and King. Amen. Well, perhaps you'll spend more time looking at that and encouraged to listen to Jesus. Questions? All right. Okay, there's what we do regularly. If you're new to church here, we have an opportunity for people to say, but what about this? Or wouldn't it be great if we could think about this application? And we love that. You don't just hear from me at the front. We're keen to hear from one another. So if there's anything by way of encouragement or question, now's the moment to raise your hand or send a message in on Zoom, and I'll see if I can have a go at answering. Just a few minutes to do this. Well done, everybody. You've been listening brilliantly, and I'd love to count on you for a few more minutes. Fiona. Okay, Fiona's question is, surely the man being healed and telling others is a good thing, or am I saying that being healed is secondary to knowing and listening God's word? Great question. I am saying the latter. Being healed is not promised in this life for anyone. It is a gift God sometimes gives, and we should certainly pray for and be involved in asking God for. But the healing, the saving that Jesus came to bring was the good news of repentance and faith in him. And the very fact that the command is so directly disobeyed means that at that point, Jesus did not want this man to tell anyone because it would prevent him from preaching the news in the other towns. His telling everybody the news meant everybody with leprosy or any other kind of illness came to Jesus for physical healing. And therefore, they weren't coming to him for what he came to give them, eternal life. And I'm glad you were there with the second question. So you're right there. Thanks, Fiona. Good question. Anyone else? One at the back. Yep.
A lot of it is asking for help.
Yep.
It's not a contradiction.
When we speak to God in prayer, a lot of it is listening and thanking, giving thanks for all the things we do, and some of it is asking for things. Is that what you said? And therefore, it feels like a contradiction. Please hear me. It is not. Jesus taught his disciples to pray, and he gave them things to thank God for and to pray for, to ask for. So the two very much go together. We are showing our dependence on God when we thank him for things that he is giving us and we cry out to him for things that he says, ask for. Regularly, Jesus said, ask and you will receive. You don't receive because you're not asking. So he urges us to cry out to him for things. The danger is, I think, one danger, is we cry out to Jesus for something, patience, perseverance, a circumstantial change, recognizing in that moment that it's God who will give it to us. And then when we don't get it immediately in our time scale, either we think there's something wrong with our prayer or there's something wrong with God. Rather than recognizing he has given us the most precious thing, a relationship with him, and he's promised to give us the things that we're asking for finally on the last day, and in the meantime, he's giving us what we need to persevere, to keep going, to trust him. And the danger is we start looking to other places to fulfill the need that only Jesus can give. So let me encourage you, do keep thanking God, and do keep asking God for things. And take heart, that is exactly the relationship he wants from his children. One more, Lucy. There's one on Zoom. We mustn't discriminate against Zoom. Okay. Why didn't Jesus heal everyone and then carry on preaching? I think that is exactly the question this passage is raising for us. How many of the people healed in that village in Capernaum understood at that point that he'd come, that they needed to repent and believe? I'm not sure many did. Not many recognized him as their king and the one whom God had promised, who had come to sort out the relationship with God. He could have done a general, everyone within 5 miles of me, be healed. And everybody would have woken up, no aching joints, no headaches, nothing wrong with them. But they wouldn't have had a clue as to where it would have come from. They'd have just thought, I'm better. But Jesus dealt with people individually, so when he was healing people, they were seeing that he had the power of God to do it. But his desire was that they would see not the sign and think it was something special, because that's all it is, a sign, but see where it was pointing. And the sign of the healings is pointing to Jesus being the one who came to heal eternally. So I think he didn't heal everyone, because I think if he had done, nobody would have grasped that he was their king come to save them from sin. Mull on that a bit more. Back to you, Luce.